This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coach McCarthy on with the Rich Eisen Show. There he's got a podcast, Rich Eisen, over there from the NFL Network. And he touched on quite a few things. I think we'll get a couple of segments out of this audio. How ready is Micah Parsons as we get ready for hour number three of the G-Bag Nation? How much are you going to put on his plate and other stuff? We'll talk about it right here with you. We have JD coming up in 20 minutes. Yes, John Daniels of the Texas Rangers, 20 minutes away as they got back to 500, scored a ton of runs. This team's flexing on the American League right now. Now, not a lot of people believe in yet. We'll ask JD, are we time to start taking this team a little bit more seriously? Could they possibly stay close to 500 for the summer? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Here we go. Cut to Mike McCarthy on his conversations with Micah Parsons before and after the draft. Here we go.
Well, definitely. I mean, the first thing is his energy. He just has that impactful, you know, it's just from the first impression. It was great to see him on TV. I think it is hysterical. I think there will be a chiropractor at next year's draft, but live and learn. But no, he's just had a great visit with him and his family, and just the whole, the energy of what, you know, to talk about his upbringing, his experience at Penn State, you know, the year off. So he has made a huge impression on us from the first day, and even, you know, during the week with the virtual meetings and so forth. So looking forward to getting him and the rest of the draft class in here next week.
Why are you shaking your head, Jeff?
Mike never talked to him pre-draft. I think our guy is like my buddy Pookie. He just makes stuff up for no reason. Like, it's like, hey, yeah, how did he impress you, you know, during the process? He didn't talk to him. We know. They talked to him on Zoom once. McCarthy wasn't there. He wasn't on the call.
He's at the podium in the press conference, the final.
Yeah, so he did, after the draft.
Talked to his family.
He got to meet Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Is it okay if you don't talk? Should he just be honest and say, well, I let the defensive guys handle that? Or
I think folks would find that a little strange.
Yeah.
But Jeff will keep reminding us that he didn't talk to him at all.
He didn't talk to him.
Yeah. I don't know how you would not have your head coach. This is the problem with the no 30 visits and stuff like that. And I'm not saying it falls to the cracks, but maybe it was a situation where they were thinking they were going to get one of those cornerbacks. You know, they were thinking like, yeah, we're going to line up and go get one of these cornerbacks. And maybe they didn't think about Micah Parsons, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, well, we don't need Mike. We'll handle this.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, Mike McCarthy is looking for any, you know, reason to not, you know, bust his butt totally.
Kind of wonder that at times.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder that at times.
But I can spin you a great story.
So I'm the same age. I think I bust my butt a little more than he does. But, you know, yeah.
So you coming around a little bit, Jeff, on the caveman coach or the gym coach?
No, it's a personality quirk.
Okay.
It's the personality quirk of the guy who, for whatever reason, his answer can't be, I don't know, or I didn't know, or I didn't see, or I didn't talk to.
Well, he admitted he wasn't on the talk.
Right.
He admitted that. He could have bluffed that thing. He could have big time bluffed that thing,
but
and he didn't do it.
Now you're on a different show,
yeah.
And I don't think in that cut he directly said,
well, it sounds bad
that
if
I was
you didn't
on the
talk.
Call, yeah. But he's making it sound like I was involved with him and knew him before the draft. Mm. And you didn't. You just didn't.
Well, he's willing to let the interviewer assume whatever details they need to assume to make him look as good as possible, which is evidenced by the process in which he was hired. How much are you going to put on his plate in rookie year? Here was Mike McCarthy, Rich Eisen Show.
Well, I think, that's really what this offseason will be about. So, I mean, we have more depth at the linebacker position than frankly, I've ever been a part of. So, we're excited about, you know, pulling that together. You know, speaking with Dan Quinn and the defensive staff actually Friday morning right after, you know, Micah's selection, we were, you know, we're diving into different personnel groups and so forth because, you know, we obviously want to make sure we're creating opportunities for all of our guys.
I mean, this, okay, help me out here, guys. You're not going to cover, you're a penetrating player. I'm going to go get the ball carrier, whoever that happens to be. It's linebacker. It's not wide receiver. It's not quarterback. We're not diagnosing stuff. It's not corner where I got to get all these techniques to try to match up with these pro receivers and try to figure out what they're trying to do. You know, I think the way that he plays, it's athleticism. Put it on the field. If it can't be on the field almost immediately, then I'm not going to like that at all.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see him playing from some stand-up stuff where he can attack and be one-on-one with a center, you know, from a linebacker spot, an inside rusher. I'm not talking about hand-down guy, but a blitzer. I also wouldn't be surprised if he was also hand on the ground, left defensive end, and they kick Tank in inside and let him play one of the three techniques with Odighizuwa and then Randy on the other side, you know, and then kind of figure it out. So I have a feeling you're going to see him hand down on some stuff and then standing up and moving him around and let him see if he can get some one-on-one stuff. Not so much with tackles maybe, but maybe stuff with some inside guys. That's where you seem to have some success.
I love that.
At Penn State.
See, guys, that's Jeff. That's what I want to hear. Like, oh, man, this guy's amazing. He's so athletic. He was the 12th overall pick for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And sure, don't be afraid of expectations. He's not afraid of expectations. Mike is the most confident man in the room, right? Let's talk about it. He's going to go tackle people.
We're talking about expectations? Our show's built on not having expectations.
Right? Well, it depends on the moment and the team and the day.
Okay.
Yeah. It's today's theme, you know? Like word of the day in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, but here's the thing about if you put big expectations on Parsons right this second.
Sure.
If you're like, look, even when we're nickel, you know, that young man is going
to get him
play.
Out there.
That's why I picked him at number 12. Well, then you got these other guys back at the house going, oh, no, I thought I was playing. So right now we have to protect feelings till we get to camp and Dan Quinn's actually
we were
11, you're in, 54,
you're off.
We were
the 31st ranked defense last year. I ain't worried about anybody's feelings.
I'm just telling you, when you're doing a national show, you're protecting people's feelings. When they get on the field, it'll stop.
When is that going to stop?
On the field.
Yeah, a guy like Parcells wasn't worried about those feelings. He was worried about
I was worried about the fact that we were one of the worst defenses in the league last year. That's what I'm worried about. I don't have time for this feelings bit. I felt terrible every time we went out there. How about that feeling?
You know, that's how it feels. You don't need to be all nice and stuff in the media. Come on.
No.
You put some pressure on your players to actually go bust their butts. Let them know if you suck this game, you might get fired.
That's
okay.
You're calling one of them a liar who said, go watch the tape. I'm awesome. And that's weird.
Hey, there is a lot of weird going on there. Let's come back to Parsons, though. You mentioned him lining up on the outside.
Yeah.
Does he have the kind of bend and ability to get around that?
Yeah,
when
you watch him play, Jeff, go ahead, Jeff. I mean,
he actually does.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like,
he was a defensive end in high school, so he's done this kind of this edge rushing stuff before.
Like the idea that an NFL linebacker, that most of them you could be like, people talk about this with Jalen Smith, right?
Yeah.
Where you say, well, he's at his best moving forward and attacking.
Yeah.
And there became this thing of, we'll make him a defensive end.
Yeah.
That would never work. He'd be horrendous.
He can't bend.
There's a difference between being a good blitzing linebacker and playing defensive end. Totally different deal.
Right.
But Micah Parsons actually does have some traits of a defensive end.
Well, like, that's exciting.
Maybe not the prototypical build or weight, but yeah, he could line up without his hand on the ground and give an offensive tackle some trouble.
We were just watching a 241-pound Ojulari from Georgia.
Yeah,
similar weight. I mean, I actually think that Parsons is stronger than Ojulari. I mean, I'm just saying this as a possibility of an edge rusher. I'm not saying he's going to make a living hand down rushing.
Right, but it gives you more ways to have him on the field.
Bingo. Yeah.
So this is more of maybe not on the level of him, but the mold of a Clay Matthews, where it's like you're out here, you're in the middle.
There you go.
You're tapped.
Yeah. There okay. you go. There
all
you
right,
go.
All right, all right. Well, that would be really fun, and if that
less
comes
hair.
Together. Yeah.
Less hair.
For now.
Yeah.
But that's how you could justify taking a, quote, stand-up linebacker at 12th overall, I think. Okay, especially if you're picking up an extra draft pick. Cut four here, Lucius, if you don't mind. Let me throw this curveball at you. What do you think of the idea the defense is going to go back to what it was before Mike McCarthy arrived? Here he is.
Well, I think like any time you have a change at the head coach position, there's a vision of the football team that's obviously going to be different. I mean, that's part of why you make a change. And you know, upon my arrival, you know, one thing we wanted to be on defense is we wanted to have more length and more speed. And I think you're just really seeing that come into, come into place now here in the second year. And I think the draft definitely reflects that. And, you know, Dan Quinn brings it, an expertise and an energy that we, definitely our guys have already bought into. Our offseason program has been outstanding. I can't say enough about, the players and the coaches, what we've been able to get done here the first couple of weeks. So, but this is more about changing the vision and how we want to play on defense. And I think we, like you said, I think we hit the jackpot in this year's draft.
So what are you hearing? Maybe a similar scheme, but different in that they want aggressive, faster players? What did you guys hear in there?
I think speed is the two things he mentioned, speed, yeah. Length. And so I think it's really weird because, like, Mike McCarthy is currently doing an interview about a defense that he really is only going to know what Dan Quinn is telling him about his vision for the defense. Because
right.
Mike is the offensive guy,
right,
along with Kellen, and he's having to answer questions about defense because it was so bad and that's what you picked. But really, that's why it was great when we heard Dan Quinn talk. And the next time that we hear Dan Quinn talk, once he's had the guys on the field, he can answer really more, to me, harder, more interesting questions. Because McCarthy is going to tell you, like, okay, well, I know what the vision is. The vision is that we fly around and we have length. And, like, I can draw you a general picture of, well, if we have length out here on the outside and now we feel like we can funnel the ball to certain places. Now, the guys who are inside here, I need to be able to fly because we're funneling it to you. Get there quickly, hit somebody. Like, and I think that's what McCarthy can tell you. Dan Quinn's going to be able to tell you, well, now that I've seen him play, I'll tell you. Third and 11, Jabril Cox. That's a nickel linebacker that we're going to use for the coverage part of the game. He can erase tight ends.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons is going to give us the ability to do this in the run game, and when it's time to rush the passer, he can help us here. And like those aren't, that's not Mike's thing.
Hmm. Well, they do. They do have a diverse set of linebackers. You know, keep them coming in and out, different jobs.
What he's got to do though is he's got to figure out how he's going to use certain players.
Yeah.
And I think what he has to figure out, I think he's going to have base package guys that he wants to keep on the field. But who's going to rotate out? Where's Anthony Brown going to fit? Where's Jabril Cox going to fit? Where's Keanu Neal going to fit in certain things? I think he'll be off and on the field. I think Leighton Vander Esch off and on the field. I think they know they get Jalen Smith off the field completely.
Quick question for you, Brian, out of the 817. Did Atlanta not give Quinn players on defense? Did he have a voice in their drafts?
You know, I never asked Tom Dimitroff about that. I know that he was – he. Tommy told me, he said, listen, if we'd won the Super Bowl, this guy would still be coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that it was one of those things. He had a say in drafting Keanu Neal in the first round. That and then moving Kazee. He had a say in that. They as Tommy said when he was on with us, they busted on some of those defensive end guys.
Tag McKinley.
Vic Beasley was another one. So, yeah, as a head coach, you do have say in that stuff.
Well, I mean, they tried to get better defensively. Yeah. A.J. Terrell, the corner last year, who probably – did he have as good a year as Diggs?
Great pick.
No, it was bad?
It wasn't as good as Diggs, and it was a great pick because it got CD to 17.
It was. Hey, are you going to talk about this Tiger video later?
Oh, yeah.
In Houston?
Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable looking at this
thing. You think that there's going to be a Tiger on the loose in Houston, Texas?
And I just wanted to make sure, okay? Because sometimes I'm like, I know 100% Jeff's going to talk about this, and you do. But on like the 1% chance that you don't, I had to make sure that was coming up on the show at some point.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about the Tiger that was on the loose in Houston.
All right.
In the suburbs, no less. Just kind of chilling.
Crazy, crazy story. Almost as crazy as this next one. A gun-toting golfer saved a woman on a golf course.
Okay, this one doesn't make sense to me. Is the gun in the bag during the round? Because it's not like you don't have it tucked in your waist while you're hitting your driver.
I think you'd have that in the bag. You know, some of these courses, people will drive right into your group and you turn around and shrug your shoulders and they think that means you want to fight. That means you want to have a sword fight with 9 irons.
And so
right?
You need a pistol?
Well, you might. You know, to stand your ground, state, I couldn't blame somebody for wanting to be protected at all times.
I got questions for some of you guys who need to be protected at all times.
Well, apparently Wayne Straw was not having a very good day on the golf course. Police say the Dorchester Mass man, Massachusetts that is, was on the William J. Devine golf course Sunday when he approached a woman.
Sounds like a good course.
Wrapped his hands around her neck and threatened to kill her.
Wait, why?
That's unclear at this moment in the story.
Okay.
Another golfer who happened to have brought his gun along with him fired a warning shot in Straw's direction. Straw then released the woman but was arrested on the next hole. She was not injured, witness says of the unidentified victim. She was shaken up and crying. She did have a broken bottle. The Straw wasn't so lucky. He's facing an aggravated assault charge, police say.
We're missing part of the story here.
Yeah, we're missing a whole lot to this story.
She missed a putt?
Nobody's at the golf course and just like, you know what I am? Today I hate female. You are one. I will choke you. Yeah. We're missing a deep. There's a deep missing.
You can shoot warning shots and not be arrested or anything? Be questioned?
I actually thought that was against the law. Warning shots were illegal.
That would be an unnecessarily discharge of a firearm. But if you're in the course of preventing an assault and an attempted murder and you fire, that's what the gun's there
for. So I can walk around and see a fight going on and shoot my gun and say, hey, you guys break it up over there.
You'll get arrested.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You could use homicidal violence to stop somebody from killing somebody else.
You could say that person
had a knife out and was lunging.
You go to jail for doing that.
You produce that pistol, you line them up and go bang.
If I see two bummers fighting outside the 7-Eleven, I shoot my gun in there and say, you guys break it up, I'm going to jail.
That might be true.
Yeah.
I'm just going by what they told me in the concealed handgun license class.
Oh, well, damn.
That's better than me. I mean, I just...
Yeah, I mean, he's way
I've never been there. My understanding, though, was that the warning... It's weird that, like, if somebody's an intruder, yes, you can shoot them, but, like, the warning shot, for some reason, is not allowed.
My grandfather said he shoots the warning shot last.
The bystander with the gun has turned over his weapon to police for the investigation, which is continuing. Yeah, and what's up with Wayne Straw thinking I could choke somebody, have somebody fire a shot, and then just continue on with my round?
Well, you stopped.
Like, oh, my bad.
Yeah, you stopped. Oh. Like today when I was picking up my Chipotle with the app, lady next to me opened the door and hit my car, and, you know, we're not going to stop our day down. I gave her a wave, and I said, like, go ahead, have a good day.
Should have reached for your handgun and pointed at the little dent and be like, look what you did right here. Right here.
Did she apologize at all?
Yeah. But it was just the mirror, you know.
Oh.
Mirrors, whatever.
I looked up the full story here, and there's no further details, so I don't think they have any explanation. Maybe it was, you know.
Man goes berserk.
Highly disturbed individual. They happened to be on the golf course.
Another man is shooting off his gun.
Hey, that is a hero, sir. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Here we go, G-Bag Nation. We got coming up next, it is John Daniels, the Rangers front office show right here on 105.3 The Fan. Oh, yeah, buddy. Welcome back, Nation. It is time for the Rangers front office show. John Daniels set to jump on with us. Brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and Texans Can. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Cars for Kids, supporting Texans Can Academies right off the car, not the kids. Segment's also brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. And a good afternoon, John. How you doing?
He's in the building!
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. It's a lot of fun to watch this baseball team, isn't it?
It's been fun, man. Yeah, it's been enjoyable the way these guys play. And, you know, I've been really, really pleased. I was on the trip in Minnesota and just being around the group, Woody, the staff, the players. I mean, the day-to-day, just the work, the preparation, it's top-notch, and you see guys getting a little bit better every day, so it's really encouraging.
Now, John, I think it was the last time we talked to you, you mentioned that wins and losses isn't obviously the end-all be-all coming into this year with where the expectations were, but now you're 500, you know, and you're cruising right along. Now are you going to get super mad at people if you fall back below 500?
Well, winning's a lot more fun, man. Everything tastes a little better. Right, when you're winning than when you're losing, and no doubt we're enjoying it. I think, like, our focus, you know, both short and long term, is still on the same thing, which is, you know, getting the most out of this group. And if we do that, then, you know, you're going to win. You know, it'll pick up a little bit for sure. But we're not trying to we don't want to undersell what the guys are doing on the field. Absolutely loving it and want to encourage them and don't want to put any limits on what they can accomplish. At the same time, you know, for us to get where we want to go, which is winning championships and competing for them year in, year out, you know, really, I think it's important from a building standpoint, we keep our eye on the long term as well.
Yeah, JD, you know, Jeff and I are free now. We don't have to work on the NFL draft anymore. So if you need any help with that board you got going over there, we'll be available. So if you want.
We definitely will need help, man. I promise.
No, a lot to do.
Lighter. We'll go lighter.
Yeah, but we're all about that Vanderbilt stuff. I know Nashville pretty well. We'll figure that one out for you. Or we go over to Jesuit too, the high school.
I like hanging out for you.
I think we covered all your possible picks.
We did. But you know, JD, and maybe you answered this with Jeff's question though, but when you go into the meeting and you have meetings and you conduct meetings, are the meetings, the tones of the meeting the same as when you started the season, or have things kind of changed in maybe the way you look at your baseball team now?
Yeah, I think Woody said it really well. We were talking over the weekend, and I just said to him kind of the same thing I said to you guys. I was really proud of like just the work that's being put in and the message that he and the staff are putting forward every day, and the way the players are responded. But also want to recognize we're just a little over a month in, and don't want to get it carried away. We got to keep it up. And he said, no, the reason why we're playing well is because of that work, right? It's not that day now that we've played well for a few weeks that we're going to change anything. He said that work, that mentality, the tone of those meetings with our staff, with our players, that's the reason why these guys are doing what they're doing here. And it's over such a small sample, we're not going to get carried away. But I loved hearing that from Woody, which is basically like, hey, like the work is the reason we're having a little short-term success here. And so we're going to double down and keep working the same way.
So if that work continues, now I don't want to get too far down the road of expectations, but he probably believes it's sustainable then. If he believes that work is creating the success, then somewhere roughly around this pace is doable for the rest of the summer. What do you say?
Listen, I hope so, and maybe better. I don't want to put any limits on this group, but I also recognize it's a long season. Our depth is going to get tested. But we've been fairly, we've had some injuries in the bullpen, but our big guys have been fairly fortunate so far. I mean, we're going to get tested a lot of different ways, and really looking forward to seeing how the team responds to those things.
So this is a question that I may have asked you before. I know I asked CY, but I think as the season goes along, it just keeps jumping into my brain. How important do you think to this group of guys, their ability to have success so far is tied into not any one individual, but the fact that there is no Elvis Andrus, there is no Rougned Odor? Like, this thing is going to be whatever you guys make of it, and people aren't going to expect a lot of you. How important do you think that is in the mix of what's happening right now?
I think it's paramount, man. I mean, because this group really has had, coming into the year, a clean slate. Our identity as a team is being formed right now, right? I mean, the there are a couple guys that have been here for a couple of years are coming through the system, but with the exception of Joey, they're not necessarily established. It's kind of knowing what you're going to get from each of them, and so they have an opportunity as individuals and ultimately as a team to still kind of write that script. I mean, it's totally unwritten, it's totally blank slate, whatever cliche you want to use, right? And I think they get that. Kiner had, he's got awesome quotes up and all over the place, but he made a statement, I think it was over the weekend, where he kind of referred to, hey, we're kind of a no-name lineup, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. A lot of these guys have accomplished some things already, but if that's their mentality, like, that's pretty powerful, right? If they're saying, hey, we're not, it's not about the individual, it's not about a star name, it's we're going to come together as a group and accomplish something together and push each other, like, that's what we're looking for, and so far so good. We got a long way to go.
John, is there any part of you that maybe wishes you'd done that a little bit earlier?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I think, and we talked about it over the years. There were different points in time where there might have been opportunities, different trade market, things of that nature. But there also was the reality we just got a massive public subsidy for this ballpark, and there were it wasn't always clean. It wasn't always a clean decision, and we didn't necessarily want to strip it down at that time. So. But I'm not looking back on it. I'm glad we've done what we've done, and feel good about moving forward. And now it's up to us to keep building on it.
JD, I'm not going to ask you about the current team, but we're into team building here. And I was hearing from some people about this prospect you have, Evan Carter. And you guys took a lot of crap for, you know, right. They're drafting some unknown guy and all that. Can you give us a little bit of a scouting report on him? Because I was actually talking to some guys around the league that I know, scouts, and they're like, listen, the Rangers got this Evan Carter kid you need to keep an eye on. You know, and they're now starting to pick up on that. But can you talk about what you've got in this particular player potentially?
Yeah, and just like a little background, because I think it's a great point with Evan. I get why we took some fight. I thought it was a little overdone on draft night. You know, Dan O'Dowd, who gave me my start in the game in Colorado, he was just talking about how nobody knew who this guy was. And, you know, that's probably why we got him, you know, because I think if he had a normal high school season, and you got to remember, you know, nobody played last year.
Right.
You know, we had the college season was cut short. And the high school season was just about non-existent. And unless these guys were on, you know, the high school players, unless they were on Team USA or they played in, you know, Texas or Southern California or Florida where they got a bunch of games in early, nobody saw these guys. And so we had a situation where, you know, quite frankly, I think our area scout just beat other guys to him. But Evan is a guy that when he was very young for his draft class, which historically bodes very well for these guys, a left-hand hitting center fielder, kind of, you know, prototypical angular body, really smooth swing, and for having not faced the highest level of competition in the country, he's kind of from a smaller area in eastern Tennessee. He already has kind of an advanced feel at the plate. He kind of checks off, balls out of the zone pretty early. He kind of like has an innate timing, innate ability to judge the strike zone, and he's got some power for a guy that, you know, still probably going to end up putting on another 20, 25 pounds. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about, and I think the fact that, you know, a lot of the industry didn't know about him, that's why we got him, you know. So I think people looked at that as kind of a bug. We thought that was a feature, right? We were excited about that. Nobody else knew about him, and hopefully history will look back at that as a really good pick for us.
John, were you at the game on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay, because when Adolis Garcia, when it went, oh no, he couldn't get there. Oh no, he booted it. Oh, this is awful. Oh my God, extra innings. And then, like, it's not a walk-off because it's the top of the ninth, but my goodness, that with the live crowd and with a game ending like that, it was just
unbelievable.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite sports moments of I don't know how long, because the Rona kind of drained everything because there's nobody in the building. But just between it being the guy who's been so exciting and the crowd being there, there's not even a question there, John. Just it was awesome. And being there, I can imagine it was even more awesome.
It was, man. That was probably, I think there were only a few of us in the suite that night. I think it was CY, myself, and Shiraz. And like, and you're right, place erupted, man. I mean, it was like a, you know, 3-run bomb in the bottom of the ninth and you're down two and, you know, two out. I mean, it was just an unbelievable moment and feeling and, you know, to have a couple, not just Adolis, who obviously made, you know, a ridiculous play. He's been doing ridiculous things just about every day, but, you know, Jonah to make that pick and the tag. I'll tell you what, another underrated part of that play is that the play before that, and this goes back to the first topic you guys talked about with kind of the work that our guys are putting in, how guys are getting better. You know, Willie Calhoun is
the throw.
You know, he's an offensive. Yeah, yeah. He's an offensive player, right? He makes that catch on the warning track. Kyle Lewis is on first and second.
Right.
Kyle Lewis on first base, and he plants and throws a strike to second, and he keeps Kyle Lewis at first. So first, the mental decision that he doesn't throw to third. He knows he has no chance there. He throws to second, keeps the force play in order. But he also keeps, you know, the tying run at a scoring position. And then two plays later, there's that pop-up flare. If Willie just lobs that ball in or makes a bad throw or makes a bad decision, throws a third, you know, that game's going extra innings. So we just that's one of those things that, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, he probably doesn't make that throw. And so just an example of some of the little things that have gotten better.
JD, what do you think of the comps between Garcia and Nelson Cruz? How much is in there for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, both guys kind of tore up AAA and didn't get a lot of credit for it because they did it at older ages. You know, Nelly was kind of a late bloomer, was a volleyball player in the Dominican, and traded a couple times. Adolis, late bloomer out of Cuba, goes to Japan. You know, his story is starting to get documented here. Both super athletic, both like super personable, big smiles, right? Like kind of larger than life personalities. I think you know, Nelly probably had a little bit better discipline, plate discipline coming up, and Adolis better defender. So I hope it works out half as well, but he's been crazy exciting to watch here early on.
Well, congrats on this early success, and best of luck tonight in San Francisco. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. There he is, John Daniels. Every Monday at 4:20, we give you either JD or CY, and it's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And Cars for Kids, supporting Texans Ken Academies, right off the car, not the kid. Should mention the segment is also presented by Rubin and Associates. And if you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. We good? That was a great conversation, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's always interesting, and JD, he's candid, he's transparent, he's, you know, he answers the toughest questions and the loudest criticisms of him with grace, you know, and sometimes I still want to cuss at him.
Yeah.
When the team's struggling.
Let it rip, man.
But, yeah. But you know, throughout the years,
yeah, I think he could take it.
He's been nothing but a pro and, yeah. an overall asset for the Rangers, and we thank him for joining us every other week right here in the home of the Rangers, 105 through the Fan. Okay, it's time to go around the NFL coming up next in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. It's time to go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys. Yes, sir, and this is brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Look at this. It's 4:45 already. The storms aren't here yet, but look outside. They're threatening. Here's Jeff, a first down.
It's cold as hell in here, too.
Yeah.
It's making me sleepy.
I started wearing this. I think this is like a cardigan, or I don't know. It's like an old man shirt.
Yeah, you guys got hoodies. Good for you. I've just got my tipples shooting out through my Rangers.
So the
team.
Cold makes you sleepy?
Yeah.
I remember in class they would make the rooms cold and they said, this will keep you awake, young man. And the whole time you're just fighting to not
shivering.
Fall asleep.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. A perfect environment to learn in.
Yeah.
I turn that AC down when I'm going to go get in bed, and it's great. Yeah. Get in there and.
With the fan blowing on you?
Yeah, I get all snug. I have a humidifier now.
Okay.
Oh. Oh. So I can't get the fan going because otherwise it would affect the route of the humidifier mist, and it wouldn't hit me directly in the face as I'm trying to go to sleep. Tim Tebow. Yeah, how could it be anything but Tebow?
Tebes.
Yeah, so Tim Tebow, word is, he's going to get signed by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
training camp bit?
Not officially a done deal yet. That's what I wonder. Like, their tight end depth chart is poopy.
Huh.
The head coach loves Tim Tebow, Urban Meyer, and so maybe he wants him in the locker room. But I will also tell you this. I think Urban Meyer would hate this, but I've already been suspicious because I think it's a team that makes sense. I think they're going to be on Hard Knocks. Technically, they could say no because they have a new head coach, but I think the owner would love it. And I think between having Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow, man, people would want to watch it. Hard Knocks. I'm putting in the call. The Jacksonville's going to do it. Like, they're going to go to him and they're going to go, Mr. Khan, well, you know that you have a new coach, so you don't have to do this, but are you interested? And he's going to go, hell yes. Let me talk to Urban. And I don't know, Brian, Urban's probably going to be like, no!
There's no way Urban Meyer lets this happen.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely not.
It's Tebow!
It doesn't matter. That guy is not, even though that Urban Meyer has now come from the media ranks.
What if the owner tells him, I let you sign a 33-year-old tight end who's never played the position before? Let me have Hard Knocks.
Mr. Khan, if you look at my contract that you submitted to me, it says that I do have personnel decision powers here. And essentially the general manager here.
All right, now I'm going to show you the contract that I signed when I bought this team that says, I own your ass. And I'm telling you, you're doing Hard Knocks.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't listen to my coach, right? We paid you big money. This is what you do as a coach. You overcome obstacles.
You guys don't want to get off to a good start at all here, do we?
Then he would develop.
We're not getting off to a good start. We got to tank one more year.
If you don't do what Urban wants. The danger is he could develop a heart murmur.
He could.
Good point, Jeff.
He might develop a heart murmur while on Hard Knocks.
So right. Unfortunate. Yeah. Hey, keep that in mind, you know. Yeah. But, hey, if he does that, then he's not cut out for the NFL. He needs to go back to college where he can manage everything, and the university presidents and chancellors will go, oh, we can't do that. Urban might leave. Oh, no. Yep. This mm-hmm. is the NFL where we're all making $200 million a year, all right? If you don't want to be here, then get lost.
That owner of Jacksonville might do that, too. Yeah, he might say, oh, I don't want Urban to leave.
Yeah, it's okay. Probably yeah. true. Well, it's probably true.
Definitely has an affinity for the man if he hired him. Here's Brian Broaddus with Second Down.
Thank you much. I appreciate that. NFL.com went back and they reevaluated the draft grades. They graded all the teams and ranked them from 1 to 32.
Okay. This year's draft?
Yeah. Let's just focus in on the NFC East. And I know I thought that Philadelphia had the best draft in the NFL.
They had a good draft.
Okay.
They had a good draft.
Okay. NFL.com ranked them as the 8th best draft in the league.
Oh, I like their work.
Okay, yeah. That's good because I think it was better than that. I like the idea that it was worse. Yeah.
Okay. The football Giants were 9th.
Hold on. You're throwing me off because it's the football team.
Yeah.
And then the Giants are just the Giants.
The New York football Giants.
New York football Giants.
Okay, so football Giants and football team. Okay, yeah. So football Giants were where?
9th.
8 and 9.
Okay.
Okay, that's pretty good.
The football team, 16th.
Okay, and you picked before the Eagles and Giants. Well, you would have, I guess. Yeah. Technically, you picked after them, so it'd be hard to draft as well as them, you know?
Your Dallas Cowboys, 21st.
You know what, Brian?
Are you going to agree with that?
21st?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably around where I'd put them. It's weird.
I think I had them over. I would say the Eagles were the first in the division.
Yeah.
But I would put them ahead of Giants and football team.
I view the Cowboys draft this way. When you give me the 11 names mm-hmm. and you say in the NFL draft, you're adding this to your football team. I go, sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool. Like, I really liked that guy and that guy's good. And ooh, those guys are going to play in the league for a long time. So when you just show me the haul, I go, heck yeah, man. That's going to help your team a lot.
Right.
But when you look at the process of going through it and you're like, hey, would you trade this guy for this or this guy for that? Then I wouldn't think they would grade out well, but that's the beauty of having 11 picks. I think the overall haul is going to really help the Cowboys. I think it could have been better.
See, I think in some spots it could have been better, but I just know going off my personal board that the Eagles knocked the thing out of the park.
Right.
I see that. But I don't think the Cowboys, if I went back and looked at every single team, I don't think they're the 21st. Now,
somewhere in there, middle of the road.
I think they'd be somewhere in the top 12.
Okay. Okay, this is going to be a fun project, Gavin. Ooh, you know what I'm
going to
do?
I see a fight happening, guys. Just drop the glove and get after it.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go find some audio from day 2 of the draft after pick 99.
No, no.
And you tell me if that's a guy who's going to say it's a top 12 draft. Brian was in there like, this team doesn't know what they're doing. I don't know what we're doing. I don't even know why I watch
the audio these guys. The audio is there. You're not wrong. I had a better understanding. If we didn't talk to Dan Quinn after the draft, then I would have, I absolutely lost my mind. But I had no idea what their plan was for some of those players that they picked, like the Golston pick, that pick. I didn't understand that at all. But I understand now that if he's going to play a 3-4 and odd front, I get why some of the picks that they made what they did.
And that Nashawn Wright guy, maybe, you know, the pandemic just as with the Rangers player who nobody understood.
That's the one that's when I really lost my mind.
Yeah, he's our Evan Carter.
Yeah. See, that's when I really lost my mind. But now they understand what Dan Quinn's going to do.
Okay.
I'm all okay with what he did.
I appreciate that. You know, you get more information. It's okay to update your opinion, Jeff.
That dude's full of
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm
who,
sure.
Me or Dan Quinn?
You. He hated it. He was so miserable.
I hated.
We tried to make him eat Snickers during the draft, and he refused. He was like, I don't want to be in a good mood.
Did I say that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I feel like that, though, when I'm frustrated and irritated. It's like, no, I'm going to stew with this for a while. I'm not done being pissed. I'll let you know when I'm done.
You become a grumpy Smurf?
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that happens.
Let's go pick Smurf berries. I hate Smurf berries.
Yes, that happens from time to time, unfortunately. Third down, will Rodgers be wearing a different uniform next season? If so, it's likely he'd be in a Denver Bronco jersey. Rumors are buzzing around the NFL. The Broncos have a real possibility of pulling off a trade for him. Broncos have $25 million in space, meaning they could take on the contract. I think a lot of teams would make the cap space.
Yeah, we'll
figure
it out.
Come in here. You've been post June 1 cut. You too. Come on, keep them coming until we got him $25 million. They also have plenty of draft picks to trade away, and most importantly, an opening at QB after passing on Justin Fields and Mac Jones. Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, acquired from the Panthers for a sixth-round pick, currently make up the Broncos quarterback room. Are we going to see this happen?
I mean, you know what?
I think the Raiders are still the team.
Okay.
I think John's going to completely overpay for this guy.
Well, there's no such thing. He's an all-time great quarterback. Give him whatever.
Sure.
He'll give more than other teams
will. He'll give more than Denver's willing to give up. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's the general manager, and George Patton in Denver has a rebuilding project he has to. John's not going anywhere.
I wonder, because Denver, if you were going to trade for Rodgers or you knew you were going to try later, you still should have picked a quarterback. You don't think Justin Fields gives you a better chance to trade for Aaron Rodgers than Pat Surtain does?
100%.
You should have picked a quarterback.
Good point.
If you were going to try to trade for a quarterback. Because now here's Drew Lock and Green Bay's like, why? So we can have a camp battle with the first-round pick we have that sucks? Yeah. Like, that's not fun.
It is not fun. It is the G-Bag Nation, though. We're going to try to have as much fun as possible here over the final 2 hours of the broadcast. How's Dak? Will he be ready for week one? Mike McCarthy answered those questions, and we'll get it to you coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.